So I will try to recall from memory the best that I can. You'll help
but
me out.
Your heart is with us, right?
Let's try to figure out what the day is about. Let's just go through some basic ideas and elaborate just slightly on some of the ideas. Okay, it comes, the Yom Tov of Tubav comes from a Gemara Masechta, in Masechta Tainis Nafchavav on the base. The Gemara says, the Gemara gives six reasons for the Yom Tov of Tubav. Okay, and some of the Acharonim give more reasons. Let's try to go through some of the reasons. The first reason, most basic reason of Tubav is, it is the day when the Shvatim were allowed to intermarry. There was a tradition. This comes from Benos Slavchad. Benos Slavchad did not have any brothers, and therefore, when their father died, the question was, what would happen to the Yerusha? And Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem was mechadesh halacha that the Yerusha shall go to the daughters, and when they get married, they shall see to it they only marry someone from their tribe, because if they were to marry someone from a different tribe, then the Yerusha of their father would go to a different shevet. From there we learned that you're not allowed to marry, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to marry, a woman is not allowed to marry a man from a man and a woman, they're not allowed to marry from different tribes. Intermarriage is forbidden in order to maintain the integrity of the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael. This takana was only enacted for the time, the generation, when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Once already they were there for a period of time, which is not clear the exact details of how long this was for, but once they were there for a significant period of time, then already was clear who the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael, the division of Eretz Yisrael, and then it was permitted, made things a lot easier for men and women to intermarry among different tribes. It was permitted. It was a very great simcha. It increased the very great degree of achdus in Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it was celebrated as a Yom Tov of Tubav. That is reason number one. So that's all to do with Shidduchim. Okay, so that's what it's all about. It's all about Shidduchim, intermarriage between the tribes. Shidduchim were easier. A second reason the Gemara gives is this terrible story of Pelegish Begiva. With Shevet Binyamin, there was a terrible maisa where a woman was violated, and the whole Klal Yisrael waged a civil war against Binyamin, and they were decimated. There were very few survivors, and there was a pledge, there was a shul that no one is allowed to give a woman a wife to the survivors of Shevet Binyamin. And then after things calmed down, they realized that the Churban of Shevet Binyamin was so great, there was a real threat that the Shevet would cease to exist. And that would mean that one of the 12 Shvatim Klal Yisrael would not exist, so they were matir the Shvuah. And they allowed them to take wives from other, they were matir the Shvuah, that no one is allowed to give them a wife. They were permitted now to take wives from other Shvatim, just like the original Takana was. So the day when Shevet Binyamin, the Shvuah, was released, was lifted, and they were once again welcomed back into Klal Yisrael, that happened on Tu Be'af. So again, it's another concept capturing the essence of peace, of Shalom. Okay, let's go to a third reason. The third reason, yeah.
Who was decimated? The men of Binyamin?
It seems everyone.
And the women as well.
It seems so, because there were not enough women. Why were there not enough women? There should have been a crisis that the women did not have enough men to marry. Right. So it seems, or it could be, maybe the gezerah was, there was a shvuah, I don't know the details, maybe the gezerah was that no one's allowed to give their daughter in marriage to a man from Shevet Binyamin. Maybe there were plenty of women, and the women they married the other shvuah, this was already after the time when it was already long after the time when the shvuah were allowed to intermarry, and maybe the war against Binyamin, the shvuah against Binyamin, only affected the men, did not affect the women, and the women married among the other shvatim, but no one was allowed to give their daughter in marriage to a man from Shevet Binyamin. So these men had no one to marry because there was a shul against them. The shul was lifted, and now they're able to marry. For some reason, there were not enough women among them, among the women, because they already were married to others,
other options,
and they were stuck, and they were severely limited who they could marry. They only could marry among their own. Among their own, most of them were already taken, married to other shvatim, and they lifted the shul, and that was a very great simcha. Okay, let's go to a third idea. This idea I want to elaborate upon slightly. Third idea was, and it was on this day too, above when the Nesei Midbar stopped dying. We know that because of the chait of the Meraglim, Hashem gave out a decree that all of the people who left Mitzrayim would die in the Midbar. The only exception would be Yehoshua and Kaleb, because they did not speak Lashon Hara. Everyone else had cried after listening to the slander she put over it show by the Shvatim, Abuchiyah Shel Chinam, so they were not going to merit going into Eretz Yisrael. Every single year, on the anniversary of the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim, which was Tesva Av, Moshe Rabbeinu instructed the entire Dor of the Midbar to dig their own graves. Frightening event. Can you imagine? This is like very frightening. Think about the Holocaust. Over a million people had to dig their own graves, and they were put into they were killed either firing squads, or they actually went into the graves and they were shot. But they were told to dig their own graves. Everyone lie down in their grave, and a certain number of people did not wake up. Divide the number of the 600,000 by 40, whatever the numbers are, Chazal a calculation, and a percentage of these people did not wake up that night, and they died. They died in their own graves. This continued for 39 years, and the last year, or 38 years, I don't remember the exact calculation, but the last year, the remaining survivors, the remaining people from that generation, they dug their own graves. 15,000 and change did not die. They dug their own graves, and then it was Tisha B'Av, and they went to sleep, and they woke up the next day, and they were all alive. Not even one person died. They figured they made a mistake, so they did this again the next night. And they did this till the full moon, the 15th, and then they realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave those last 15,000 people. They were forgiven. That's incredible chiddush, that they were, even though the gzera was that no one's going to enter in Eretz Yisrael, there were 15,000 people that did enter Eretz Yisrael because HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed forgave them. Now there are two, and what was the simcha? So we have to be aware, and when did this happen? On Tu B'Av. That's the time when they recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them. There's a very important machlekes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Bavli says the simcha is not so much that they survived. The simcha was now that the gzera was over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was once again miyached with Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Shechina returned to Moshe, and Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu directly. During the 40 years in the desert when this thing was taking place, people were dying every single year, Hashem did not speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no communication. The red phone did not work. It was not functional. Now, when this happened on Tu B'Av, the red phone had a dial tone. It worked. You know when the shul is a red phone? The people think it's the Hatzalah. It's not Hatzalah. It's direct line. Direct line, the dial tone worked. It worked. The phone worked, the communication, the diva was miyachid. That's what it says in the Bavli, not the Yerushalmi, Babylonian Talmud. In the Yerushalmi, it says, it was a tremendous yomtiv. No, they recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them, these last 15,000 people, and they had a l'chaim, literally, to life. They had a l'chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them. The Yerushalmi was the dibur, or was it the actual simcha of remaining alive? Now, there are two just small points I want to make. I saw this in different svarim. First of all, how could it be that on the fifth day of the night they saw the moon? Don't we know they were the Anani HaKavot? The Anani HaKavod blocked the moon. They were not Mekadesh, the famous Chazal, and the 40 years in the Midbar, they were not Mekadesh al Piri'iyah, because no one saw the moon. Oh, that's the answer. No one saw the moon for 40 years. Why did no one see the moon? It was a cloudy night. Every single night was a cloudy night. It was Anani HaKavod. So they were not able to Mekadesh al Piri'iyah. So how then would they be able to see the full moon on the night of the 15th? So the answer is, as Rav Mayevsky said, because this was after the Nisa of Aaron. Aaron died Rosh Chodesh Av. It's the only yard site in the Torah. Parshas Chukas, the only yard site in Moshe Rabbeinu died. And therefore Aaron died. And when Aaron died, the Anani HaKavod left. And later they were able to see the moon. And that's how they knew that it was the 15th day of the month. Next question. Why didn't... Now, this is a beautiful idea. I saw this in Rav Druk's Sefer. Rav Druk, it's a... Mordechai of Mordechai Druk Zecher Tzadik Levracha. It's a beautiful, beautiful set of svarim on Drush. And let me just be marked in this idea, this short idea, with two ideas that you are very well, they are very familiar with. When the Kohen Gadol left, the Kohen Shachadosh from Yom Kippurim, Chazal say that he was mispalel tefillah ketzara, a short prayer. And what was his prayer? That Hashem should not listen to the prayer of the Oivrei Derachim. There are people that are traveling on the road. They're on the road, and it rains. And when it rains, they get wet and it gets muddy. and they're very upset. So they pray to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, can you do me a toiva? Can you please have the rain stop so I can travel, I can get to my destination safely without getting wet? That was the prayer of the Kohen Gadol. Don't accept those prayers, because we need the rain. The Tzibor, the Klal Yisrael, millions of people need the rain. Don't listen to that one or two of those stragglers who are praying to you that there should not be rain. So what's the obvious question? Why would Hashem listen to them? You have a Klal Yisrael of millions of people, and they're all shuckling away. They're saying Talmud Levracha. Right, every shul, they're shuckling away with the talis and tefillin. They bang their heads against the wall. And you have one little guy on the road, one little guy, one straggler, a little peckle. And he's Ribbono shel Olam, it's raining, can you please stop the rain so I don't get wet? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen to that one person against a million people that are saying Ma Shavuach? You know the answer is? So what's the answer? It's just a shocking answer Chazal give, because that one little guy with his little peckle, he really means it. He really prays to Hashem with sincerity, because he's getting wet. Everyone else, they're living in the air-conditioned shuls, and there's running water, there's plumbing, everything is good. Mashiv haruach amarit hageshem. They don't really pray with a full heart, because it doesn't affect them. So it's very possible one person's prayer can outweigh prayers of millions of people, because a prayer with sincerity has that koyach. Everyone heard this part at some point in time. I'll give you another example. The Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol, the people who were in the Ari Miklat, when did they go free? They go free when the Kohen Gadol dies. That's their freedom. So what did the mother of the Kohen Gadol do? She went around from one city to another, and she gave out danishes, home-baked cookies. She gave out home-baked cookies to all of the people, that killed inadvertently and were locked up here waiting for the Kohen Gadol to desperately die. Now the question, so why? So that they should not die. So that they should not pray that her son dies. So the question is, come on, a few homemade cookies is going to prevent hundreds of people, we don't know exactly how many people, hundreds, thousands of people, whatever the population was, from praying. How much longer can that 99-year-old man go on? You know, enough is enough. I got a life to live. I have children to marry off. The Kohen Gadol, he's already 99, he's not 100%. You let him die already. So the mother of the Kohen Gadol's cookies.
Mother 99.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So that the Kohen Gadol's mother, and her homemade cookies is going to really. So you know the answer that it is. Because when the Kohen Gadol's mother gives you a homemade cookie and you eat the cookie and it tastes good, when you pray that the Kohen Gadol should die, it's not with the same intensity. It has an effect. It has an effect. It does have an effect. Okay, I always ask the question. I used to say this. What? She went. There was a bus. There was a bus. Bigger cholim. Satmar. Bigger cholim took her around. I always used to ask the question. I'm not going to go into it now. My father. I used to always. Why was the Kohen Gadol's mother? What about his wife? Okay, that's not for now. That's for another time. Why didn't she make the rounds? Why didn't she make the rounds? Okay, so there are answers for that, but let's not for now. So using this idea, now he explains the very nice question. Every single year, you have to think, every single year, there were 600,000 people that were going to die. They all knew they were going to die, because of the chait of the Meraglim. So we could assume that on the eighth day of Av, they were digging graves. Everyone was digging a grave. You could imagine what it was like Mincha that day. Think about it. This is the way it was. On the eighth day of Av, early in the morning after Shacharis, everyone went out to the cemetery and they dug a grave in the desert. How long did it take? I don't know how long it took. Whatever it took. They came back to Daven Mincha. You know, I can die this year, I can die next year, I don't have to die now. It's 40 years. you can imagine how people davened. It could very well be this the last time they would see their family. It was serious business. They were mispalel to Hashem, I don't want to die. I don't want to leave. And that group of 15,000 are going to die this year. So basically, Hashem didn't answer their prayers.
Right.
Every single year, 15,000 people died. The only time Hashem answered their prayers was the last year. Why? So Rav Druk says, an incredible chiddush. Because they knew they were going to die. It was for real. They davened for real. Because the 39 years doesn't have to be me. It's a lottery.
Yeah.
It's a shocking idea. It's a powerful idea. It's just like the Kohen Gadol, our other example of the Ivory Drachim. When you know it's you, you're the last 15,000. You're not coming up. That's it. It's the last year. It's year 40. You're not coming back. We're the last 15,000 people. We're going to for sure die. So when they davened their last Shemona Esrei, they really davened. Not like the year before, flip a coin. Maybe me, maybe him, who knows? It's not the same tefillah when you're not 100% certain. Those are two ideas that I found very interesting with regard to the third reason why, three of six reasons why we celebrate on Tu B'Av. And if you want to expand that, that really means that what is Tu B'Av? It's a day of celebration of tefillah. I mean, in the bigger picture of things, the Harugei, the Mace of Midbar stopped dying. It was a very great revelation that if you daven with a full heart, with sincerity, Hashem will indeed listen to your prayers. Okay, let's go to another idea. Harugei Beitar. The people of Beitar were brutally murdered by the Romans in the aftermath of the Churban Bayis Sheni, 52 years later. And what? I don't remember. Could be 52 to 6. I don't know. Okay, it could be
right.
What?
Harugei Beitar?
Yeah.
About
135,
yes, correct.
Yeah. That was more than 65 years after.
It was 50 years after the Churban opened started.
So, and that they said more. Yeah. Rabbi Karnofel, who was giving shiur
about it, that they were still bringing the Pesach.
Yeah, after,
because
you don't write.
The way after the Churban, they do Tukas, you know, that you
don't need a
Besam Midrash.
You just need the
Mokum,
the Mizbeach.
He said that. Did the Kahuna. Right, that they
even after the very good. You don't need a mikdash. You just need the mekayim hamizbeach. You need bide kahuna. You need kohanim miyuchasim bide kahuna.
That's the problem today.
We don't have mekayim miyuchasim and bide kahuna. And we don't have the mekayim. We don't know exactly the mekayim hamizbeach. We have no way of knowing for sure the exact mekayim hamizbeach. And politics also, you'll never be able to go. And the World War III will certainly break out if we would attempt to bring Karm Pesach. So yeah, those are different reasons. But the point we have now is Harugei Beitar, they were killed, they were brutally murdered, and they were not allowed to be buried. And in fact, their bodies were piled high like a wall. The blood was used to fertilize their vineyards, the vineyards of the Romans of the city of Beitar, which the Romans took for themselves for 7 years. And then with the death of the Caesar, I don't know the details, the history, but at some point in time, that was the miracle. After 7 years of the bodies standing piled high as a wall around the vineyard, the permission was granted to the Jewish people. They can now bury the dead. 7 years, what could have survived after 7 years? The body decays very, very quickly. It was a miracle. Number one, Hatoiv Shaloi Hisriach, that the bodies did not decay in 7 years. The Hametiv, Hatoiv Hametiv, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted permission for them to be buried. So what is the significance of this miracle? It's not so simple. Basic idea is Kovod HaBrios. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave honor to Klal Yisrael. Burial is a very high level of Kovod, dignity to the body. We take it for granted, Baruch Hashem, this Kavura. But you know, in the Holocaust, many people did not merit kavura. The crematoriums, they were burnt. Even 9/11. 9/11, there were people that were vaporized.
Malchus, right?
What?
One of the Assyrian Harugei Malchus.
Also, they give it to dogs, thrown to dogs. There were different people, different things happen to. That's correct. It's not something you can take for granted. To have kavura is a zuchus. It's a very great merit that a person should be zoicha to have kavura, and a dignified kavura. Everything should be proper, and you shouldn't have goyim coming along or destroying kavama. We see today what's going on in the world. And you know, there's a priority of where money is going to go. It's not necessarily a priority to spend Jewish money on fixing cemeteries instead of going for Jewish education. You know, it's a tough call. Where do you put money? Where does money go? It's not a positive thing that a person should be zeichet to kavura and a dignified kavura. And here, Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael tremendous gift. Hatoyva hametiv harugei betar were given kavura. It was a sign from heaven that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to give kavai to Klal Yisrael and Golus. That's the deeper meaning of harugei betar. There's going to be Klal Yisrael. There's going to be a Golus. There's going to be 2,000 years of Golus. But Hashem is setting the tone. You're going to have a dignified Golus. It's not going to be a Golus bezyonis, nomads. You'll live like Meshugayim and...
Really?
Okay, to a certain degree, yes and no. You can't say that throughout Golus, Klal Yisrael didn't have covered. You can't say that. Klal Yisrael suffered, we know, from Tisha B'Av, the Kinnis. I mean, we have blood. It's all blood and Tzaris. It's blood and Tzaris. But you can't say it's all Tzaris. You can't say that Klal Yisrael did not enjoy very tkufis of covered, of dignity. There's definitely something to it. And where did that come from? Where did Kadosh Baruch Hu show that we'll be covered for Klal Yisrael in the aftermath of the Korban? Harugei Beitar. It's not a simple matter. Now we know we make the bracha. How was this bracha instituted? It was instituted after Birchas HaMazon. After Birchas HaMazon, when we recite the fourth bracha. So the fourth bracha was appended. Now the question is, what is the fourth bracha? What does that bracha have to do with Birchas HaMazon? So simply, that it's kavod, because mazon it connects very well into harachon hu yifar nirseinu b'chavod. It's one thing Hashem gives us food. This week's parsha we achalta v'savata uveirachta as Hashem lokech al eretz hatayva asher nosalach. Hakadosh Baruch Hu sustains us. You can sustain the person with bzionos, and you can stay in a person with dignity. So, being that harugei beitar captures the essence of kavod, and it's being, and Hashem is sustaining us, it's very appropriate to append it to Birchas HaMazon to say to Hashem, not only do you sustain us, bechavod. Harachamon hu yifar niseinu b'chava. And you can expand upon this, not for now, but this idea, that's why it is appended to Birchas HaMazon. Another very beautiful reason...
Yeah. Also follows Bonei Yerushalayim, even after...
Yerushalayim, very right. Even after Yerushalayim, there's something which comes further. Hashem is still with us. That even during times of Golis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown that He is still with us, even when we no longer have a Yerushalayim, we're in Golis, Hashem is still with us. Now, another idea, which led us to give a little background... The Hatov Meitiv is also recited on a very special occasion when you're at a meal and you're drinking wine, and then they bring out better wine that's of better quality, unexpected. You're at a meal, this is the wine that you have, and suddenly someone shows up. It's not so simple when you want to make the bracha Hatov Meitiv. They bring into the room better quality wine, tastes better, it's older. So you make a special bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Hatov VeHameitiv. Special bracha. Special bracha when you have better wine. What does wine have to do with the bracha Hatov VeHameitiv? So the simplest answer is that the bodies, the blood of the bodies, fertilized a vineyard. The bodies were surrounding, the bodies that did not decay, served as a wall around a vineyard. So in order for us to remember the miracle of the vineyard, the bodies that did not decay around the vineyard, we associate Hatov HaMeitiv with Yayin. A kerev is a vineyard of Yayin. And that is why it is added to the end of benching, because what do we do in benching? There's another reason why we add it to the end of benching, besides when you serve Mechol of Yerushalayim and Yifaran HaSim B'Chavod. It's because what do you do when you finish benching? Kushal Bracha.
Right.
The time, you're supposed to always bench, you have three people, you're always really supposed to bench with a kosher yayin, even during the weekday. For some reason, we don't do it. Most of us don't do this, But whenever you bench with three people, you really ideally should bench al koshal yain and recite the bar priya gofen. So since the koshal yain accompanies the berachas hamazon, you finish the three brachas, you finish the bracha of bonei Yerushalayim, and now you're up to the koshal yain. So we now incorporate Hatoiva Hametiv, which was a miracle which the common man associated with Yayin. We don't live at the times, but the bodies were scattered and around a Kerem, that's Chazal, they use that word over and over, and we connect it with the Yayin, which comes after the end of Birchas Hamas. That's just there are more ideas which I didn't prepare, but this is the gist of the Hatoiva Hametiv. Let's go to another idea. Another idea why we celebrate Tuba Av is the Atze Hamarach. It was the day when they stopped cutting wood for the Beis Hamikdash. Why? Because the sun's koyach. The nights get longer. The days get shorter, and the wood is no longer dry. The koyach of the shemesh becomes weak, and they would cut the wood today, or they would stop cutting the wood.
Get
full of bugs. There's moisture begins to creep into the wood, and it'll become full of worms, and it's not proper to put wood that has worms on the mizbeach. So what's the significance of this? So there are different interpretations. One is the mitzvah. It's a siyum hamitzvah. It's a mitzvah to cut wood for the Beis HaMikdash. Today it was done. The season is over. The mitzvah is complete. And they made a suda siyum. Others learn, no, now they're free. Now that everyone, no longer do you need to cut wood. You have more time to learn Torah. Until now, people were out, the wood choppers were out there in the fields cutting wood from the Beis HaMikdash. Now, there's nothing more to do. What do you do when you have nothing to do? You go to Beis HaMikdash and you sit and learn. You have more time to sit and learn until the Gemara goes on to give brachas. A person adds time at night to learning, he'll be blessed. And a person that does not take advantage of the extra time he has on his hands, Rachman al-Tzlan, it's not going to be good. Now, this is something totally shocking, new to me. Everything is new to me, but this is really new to me, is that I saw that it used to be the meaning by some people, last night, you're supposed to recite Tikkun Leil Shavuos. Now, I don't know two people who recite Tikkun Leil Shavuos, but on Shavuos itself. But there is such a custom by outstanding Talmidei Chachamim, when you know Kol Torah Kula on your fingertips, every Masechta, there's something called go to the Sfarim store by Chassidim. They're into this. The Chassidish Oil are into this. It's called Tikkun Leil. Everyone knows it, right? Tikkun Leil Shavuos. The first pasuk of every parasha and the last pasuk, the first mishnah of every masechta and the last, the first daf gemara and the last. You go through it when you have enough. It's a whole book. It's enough book, and it takes you 4 hours to read. And that's what you do. That's what you do the night. That's what you do the night of Shavuos. Instead of learning now, the yeshiva olam, they don't go for this. You go to yeshiva and you learn balabatim. None of the above. We go to sleep and just get up early for davening. Whatever it is. But something called Tikkun Leil Shavuos. So it's interesting is that the real night, when you're supposed to stay, when the Gemara says, this idea of staying up the night of Shavuos is not brought down anywhere. This is a new thing. This is a modern invention of staying up to learn the night of Shavuos. It's a new thing. It's a new Mishagas. It's only been done for how many years? 200, 300 years, maybe 400 years. The most. It's a new thing. But where the Gemara actually spells out and says, now is the time at night to be moisif in your learning, and if you will be moisif in your learning, you'll be zaycha to all these incredible brachas. And Chas Hashem, the Gemara gives the negative. If you are not moisif in your learning, because you're not moisif in your learning, then Rachmana Litzlan, the Gemara says terrible things. It was said about Tu B'Av, because the night of Tu B'Av is the night when the nights get longer. And when the night gets longer, that's the time to show your Machshiv Torah. And by people who take this very seriously, they stay up the whole night. Tu B'Av, that's the night when you're supposed to stay up. Not Shavuot's night. There's no Makar for that. The Makar to stay up the whole night is Tu B'Av. That's the night when you're supposed to say the Tikkun Leil Shavuos. Okay, so that is reason number four. So it's called Yom Tabar Magal. Yom Tav Makkel. Rav Chaim Siegel, just say very quickly, Rav Chaim Siegel, my Rebbe Chaim Berlin, Zechzad Levracha, used to make a party after he finished English. So every high school, I have no idea what goes on today, but in those days, you were able to finish the curriculum, the English curriculum from the state in 3.5 years. Yeah, we have 3 full years, and then the last year of 12th grade, you can squeeze it into a half a year. So every high school, again, I don't know what goes on today, but every those days, every high school would do different things. Some, I think most high schools, they had college credits.
Right.
They have a full year, and they just give college credits. That's what a lot of them did. Others, they had more learning. But they had English the entire 12th grade, and you have less periods, and they have more learning, other extracurricular things, not necessarily college credits. Chaim Berlin, in those days, the minhag was, they would cram it into a half a year, and then the other half a year, you had to learn a whole day. You had to have a taste of what it was like to learn a whole day before you run off. In those days, in my class, then half the class went to college. I don't know what goes on now. You go to Brooklyn College, go to Turner College, wherever you went, but before you go and run off next year, you run away, we want you to have a taste of what it means to learn at least for a few months, for 4 months, to learn a whole day. So after we finished the Regents, so we finished the curriculum, so he made a party. He made a party in his house. It was a very nice party, a beautiful party, and it was called the Taber Magel Party, which means the breaking of the axe. The breaking of the axe. And why was it called? So he said over his own var. He used to love this var. He always said over, why do they have to break the axe?
Who would say this?
Rav Chaim Siegel.
Oh, Rav Siegel.
Chaim Siegel. Why would they have to break the axe? They finished chopping the wood on Tuba off. Right? Tuba off is the day when you break, is when you break, you finish chopping it. So what does it say? They made a party. And it was called Tar Magel.
You told us.
Why do you have to break the axe? When the winter is over, what do you do with your shovel, the snow shovel? You break it? You put it in the closet for next year. So what are you breaking the axe? Put it in the closet for next year. So Teretz says, the Gemara says, what are you supposed to do now that you finish working, you sit and learn? He's supposed to, one who adds the layer to his life. If you don't eat achmel, it's not going to be good. If you have the axe in your closet, in the back of your mind, I'm going back to work in a few months, it's a different type of learning. If in your mind, I'm finished forever, whatever will be in a year from now, I'll worry about it. But right now, I have to put myself in a frame of mind where there's nothing but learning. So therefore, because you have to put yourself in that frame of mind, you have to break the axe. There is no axe. There's nothing to chop. There's no wood left in the whole world. I have nothing on my mind other than learning. Break the axe. Next year, you'll need to go to work to have more wood for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, you'll worry about it. You'll get a new axe. You'll get a new shovel to shovel the snow. I never want to see. Wahadul Elif Alfe Havdalos, a billion times multiplied exponentially. I once heard from an interview on the radio, they interviewed one of the Santa Clauses who works in one of the department stores after the holiday was over, and he says, I don't want to see a child. I don't want to see a child until 10 months. I don't want to see one of them. I don't want to know from them. Not my grandchildren, not my children. I don't want to look at them. Okay, it's the same thing. The winter is over, you break the shovel. The season is over, you break the axe. You have to think about learning. Yeah.
Almost a similar concept that I know on Tisha B'Av.
Oh, the kinnis. Yes. Yes. It used to be. Yes, it used to be the minhag. This used to be. Rabbi J.J. Schachter always talks about this. It used to be the minhag. You leave the kinnis are printed on soft paper, and you leave it in Seamus to show, to express that this is it. Ayumasi Oimeres.
It's not our school's minhag.
Hashanah, and today it's already coming to the point where it's almost leather bound. Jerusalem leather bound kinnis.
Divorced.
Okay, so what does that mean? Well, you should be aware that there are definitely opinions that strongly disagree, because the kinnis were written by the Kalir, most of them, a good part of them. They were written on Ruach HaKodesh. They're extremely holy, and in it are hidden tremendous brachas. and we have no understanding of the brachas. To us, it's just pain and suffering. But when Mashiach will come, we'll be able to take those kinnas and see in the kinnas incredible insights into the world. And it's not something which everyone feels should be thrown away in shem. Seven pains. Okay, so what are we at? I gave you four. I don't remember what are the two. Okay. What? Do we have another two at least? So there was a day when the boys and girls would get together. It was the big social event. The Shabbos Nachamu social event. When the boys would go out to the vineyards and watch the girls dance, the girls would borrow clothing and would say, Hevel Hayoifi Isha Yiras Hashem Hit Hisalal Sheker Achen Hevel Yif Isha Hashem Hit Hisalal. And they would borrow, no one should know from nothing. What is very interesting about this is that they danced in circles. Kiddush Levana, the real way to dance is Su Sharon. Right, you go, that's the real way to dance. We don't know how to dance. You have to watch Fiddler on the Roof to learn how to dance. The real way to dance is Kishem She'eni Yachol Kishem She'ani Roikeid Kinegdech. I dance opposite you. The real way to dance is not in circles. The real way to dance is in rows, back and forth. Su Sharon. That's the real way to dance. Kishem, no, it's not Hasidish. That's the way it's supposed to be. Kishem Shani Roikeid Kinegdech. The same way I dance opposite the Eini Yochol in Goyavach. That's how you're supposed to dance. This concept of dancing in a circle is something which comes from Olam Haba. Also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stand in the center, and the tzaddikim will stand around HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a circle, and will point Ze Keli V'Yandeyu. The concept of a circle is a concept which is borrowed from Le'osid Lavo, from the future. This idea of the boy, the girls dancing in a circle, the boy selecting a girl, is a very spiritual concept of we are taking from Le'osid Lavo, from the times of Mashiach, from what was meant to be, which opens up a whole new world into the parasha of Shidduch. By the way, this thing only Shidduch, the whole technique was no, you don't know from nothing. It's potluck. No one knows nothing. The way Shidduchim are arranged today is there's a resume, and you have to have references, and you have to know about all your birthmarks, and you have to know about. I'm not going to go into the details. You have to know. You have to know every little detail. Nothing can be left to chance. In this context, it's just the opposite. Everything is unknown. Everyone would borrow clothing from the other. They all dressed the same in white. And even the white, you couldn't tell. You know, there's a better white, a not such a good white. All different. Everyone borrowed from each other. No one knew from family. No one knew from nothing. And they were dancing in a circle. Dancing in a circle represents equality. When you have a square, then there's a difference of degrees of how close you are to the center. When you have a circle, everything is the same. Everything is the same, and everything is me'ein la'asa lava. It represents something which is very spiritual, which is beyond our grasp. It's not from today. It's something which is olam haba, beyond us. That's the setting of how Shidduchim were arranged through the unknown, not through the known. Completely the opposite the way it's done today. It could not be more. The whole concept is mamish olam hafa.
It's still unknown.
What?
It's still unknown.
It's true. Right. The bottom line is it's still unknown. The bottom line is with all the checking is 100%. It's a closed, a sealed envelope. You don't know what you're getting. No matter
what. Supposed to have faith in God. He's
going
to pick the right one for you. This is what.
Yeah.
Believe in everything else.
Yeah.
Are you going to make parnasa? Don't worry, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to. But the
shidduch,
they don't do that.
It's
Okay, it's a very interesting. All the ideas in this vineyard all point to one thing, the unknown. All right, and what else? That's five. There's another one. Anyone remind me? There's another reason why we sell. There's another reason the Gemara gives. Beitar. The Shvatim intermarried, Taramagol. I can't remember all the wood. What the wood?
The rain.
What the?
Pelegish
Begiva. Okay, I don't have my notes. Okay, let's just go for it. I don't remember all the. Let me just tell you some other Hasidic reasons. Very interesting reasons why we have Tubav. I like this, it's very, very interesting, the Chodesh Harim, among others, it's the day when we get up from a shiva from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The test of 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Just like Rachmana Litzlan, the person dies, they have to observe 7 days of Avelis. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That day, 1,100,000 people were killed, or really were killed during that period of time. There's Avelis, there's mourning. Tu B'Av is the day, it's in the Kinas, Kum, you get up. You get up from the Avelis and you have to go full, you have to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Just like privately we can relate to that concept, it's a time to get up from Shiva, it's a time to get up from the Avelis of the Churban. It's a very powerful idea and you can expand upon that very much. Okay, another idea is that Tu B'Av, the world was created, what day was the world created? On the 25th day of Elul. That was the day that Adam was created on the first day, was the sixth day. What is Tu B'Av? It's exactly 40 days before the 25th day of Elul. What happens 40 days before creation? Baskel, yeah, it's the Baskel goes forth. Bask Plony Leplony. Sade Plony Leplony. Parnasa. All the different things, they're Baskel. Today. Yitzir Savlad, before conception. For Yitzir Savlad. Yitzir took place on the 25th day of Elul. Today is the day of the Baskel. The Baskel is going forth and is already preparing us for the Briyas Ha'olam. And that's why indeed the minig is, you can already start saying Ksiva V'Chasim Toiva Tu B'Av. The Zman when you start saying Ksiva V'Chasim Toiva is on Tu B'Av because of the Baskel. One other very short idea which ties into the middle is Tu B'Av. What is Tu B'Av? Test the 15th letter in the Aleph base. What is the 15th letter of the Aleph base? The Tu B'Av? Sanach. Sanach is the Mechol, it's the circle. It's the circle which represents the idea of the boys and the girls. The boys would watch the girls dance. The Mechol is in circles. The Sanach has a much greater meaning. We learned the Aleph base, what Sanach represents. But the essence of Sanach, whatever that concept represents, is expressed on this day on Tu B'Av. Okay, I'm sure there are a lot more things I'm forgetting to tell you about my notes, but we'll leave it with that. Okay.